May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Christ. Amen. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." A few years ago, we were on vacation, and we stopped at Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee. They had an attraction there called Ruby Falls. And Ruby Falls is the deepest actual waterfalls, I think, in the world. It's 260 feet below ground. So we thought we'd see this attraction. And it's kind of neat. They have a glass elevator that takes you down the 260 feet. And by the time we got to the bottom, my wife was ready to go back up, and she did. But my son and I went on and saw the sights and enjoyed the thing and saw all the things. But I think one of the most amazing and telling things about the whole experience was they turned off the lights, and it was total darkness. And truly, I could not see my hand in front of my face. Now, if you close your eyes, you can kind of imagine real tight, but this was total blackness. I've never seen anything like it before. That's kind of what our story is about today. Our gospel tells us about a man who was born blind, who was born with that kind of blindness, where it was dark like that. But it also tells us about another man who brought light, not only to this man who was blind, but to all of us. For not only is for this man, but our gospel eyes are all for mankind. The first people we run across in this gospel that see the blind man are, of course, the disciples. And he's sitting there, and they ask Jesus a question. Why is this man blind? What sin caused this God to punish this man? And therein is the crux. They make the same assumption that many of us do today. When we see something bad happen to somebody else or something bad happen to us, we wonder, "What did I do, God?" Kind of like Job. "Oh, Lord, what have I done?" That's not an assumption you should make. The disciples were more concerned about what caused the blindness than really what could cure the blindness. And at times, we are the same way. Notice here, dear friends, how Jesus seeks out this man not as an object lesson for everybody, but a lesson that tells us about the effects of sin. It wasn't his blindness so much as the effects of sin. Sin causes blindness of all sorts. And Jesus points out the fact that it is where that we live under the cross. And we're going to have trials and grief and pain, but under the cross is where we're safe and saved. It's not a punishment for sin, but rather it's an opportunity for God to be revealed and show us how he can help us in his struggles, in our struggles. And he strengthens our faith through these trials. Now, Jesus heals a man by making mud with the saliva and applying to his eyes, and he sent him to the pool of Siloam. In fact, as a side note, Siloam, which means sent, and when you sense something is sent, it's given to you, and that's what I was talking about. It was built by King Hezekiah back in his day, and it's mentioned in Isaiah, and it was used for purification before you went into the temple. In other words, you went there and washed off and went into the temple. In Jesus' ministry, we notice that there's three ways he heals. He heals by his word, he heals by an action, by touching, and he also heals by prayer. Simply prays and it was done. But in this particular instance, he used mud, an object like that, to heal. Now, there's some significance there, too. In the old rabbinic way of thinking, there were 39 things that you could not do on the Sabbath, and one of them was make mud. But that law certainly isn't in tune with what the scripture says. Genesis 7, then God, the Lord God, formed the man from dust of the ground. Jesus and his disciples have left the temple when the man returns with his sight. And the next set of folks that meet the man are his neighbors, who had seen him sitting there begging and begging day in and day out. And now all of a sudden, they can see. They couldn't believe it was the same blind beggar they saw daily. They asked him how he was healed. And he told them, Jesus put mud, told me to wash, and I can see. And that's wonderful. Seeing God's grace through him freed those neighbors and us from the burden of believing that every misfortune is a direct result of something we've done wrong on ourselves. Instead, we are called to see our lives through the lens that Christ sees us. Christ's steadfast love and assurance that in Jesus, we are forgiven. We in Jesus, we can get strength. In Jesus, we can bear witness to his faithfulness to our neighbors. And he will work for us to bring a light into this world. These neighbors now have become witness to this miracle. And the man who they thought was either conceived in sin or had done something terribly bad, had been cursed since his birth, has now been healed by a man, and they wanted to know how this happened. How is it possible that a man could take away this blindness? So they go to the temple, see the rabbis, to get the answer. They want the religious experts to explain to them how this happens. Now the Pharisees were just as astonished that this man can see, and they ask him, who healed him, and by what means? And he tells them, Jesus had applied the mud and had him wash. They were asking for a sign who he was, and he had said to them, behold, before Abraham, I am. And they tried to stone him for that. Now here comes a man, who had been blind from birth, and he tells them, Jesus did it, and he's the proof. He's the proof of Jesus, living proof of Jesus' power right in front of them. Now, instead of celebrating this miracle, the Pharisees interrogate the once blind man again, asking by whom and how he received his sight, and when he told them, Jesus, they said, well, who is this Jesus? And what do you think he is? And he says, he's a prophet. Now the Pharisees immediately responded that Jesus was not from God because he did not keep the Sabbath. Friends, please recognize how easy legalism can blind us. Jesus' actions remind us that God's mercy is not bound by human rules, and that Christ, regardless of our ability to keep every regulation perfectly, is here to help us. Now here at Concordia, we confess that righteousness comes not from our works or adherence to tradition, but through faith. Faith in Christ alone, who freely gives sight to the spiritually blind and brings restoration to those in need. The Pharisees did not believe the man was born blind and called his parents to verify it, that he was their son and that he was born blind, and were also questioning about his healing. Now, out of fear of being cast out of the synagogue, they cautiously responded that their son had indeed been born blind, that he was their son, and now he could see. But they don't know how he did it. They don't know how it came about. And their reaction there also shows us a tension that we face daily. When we as believers feel when we're confessing Christ to somebody that doesn't, it makes us uncomfortable. It makes us afraid. The parents' hesitancy shows the real pressure that comes from the world. And we do live in an evil world. Yet their testimony still affirms to the reality of this miracle. They knew he was born blind, and now he sees. A miracle. It was amazing to me. If it had been my child, I'd want to run up and hug him and things like that. But that's how much fear they had of being put out of the synagogue and by going against the norm. We're reminded Sometimes we may be timid too. God's grace will sustain us. And he works through our imperfect witness to accomplish his purposes and to confess that Jesus is Lord in all circumstances. So the Pharisees brought the man back again and asked him the same old question. And the man repeated the story that it was Jesus that cured him. And they keep asking. And then he says, since you now know this, are you going to worship him? And their answer to that was immediate. They threw him out of the temple. So apparently they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to see. Hearing that he had been thrown out of the temple, Jesus sought the man out and found him. And he asked him if he believed in the Son of Man. And the man said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe him in him? And Jesus said, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking to you. And the man worshipped him. Now, not to be really too cute about this gospel lesson, it is really an eye-opener. In this account, we see not only the physical healing of the man born blind, but the deeper spiritual truth that Christ opens the eyes of faith. Here in Concordia, we confess that it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that we are given true sight. Sight that sees Jesus for who he is, the Son of God, the Son of Man, our Savior. Now, the man's journey from blindness into sight mirrors our own journey from baptism and spiritual darkness to the light of Christ, where you're at today. Christ is a gift given not by our merit, not something we deserved, but through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word and sacraments, the means of grace. This gospel lesson, I hope, will remind us that opposition and misunderstanding may come when we bear witness to Christ, yet we are called to stand firm. Even when the world rejects us or misunderstands us, Jesus seeks us out, strengthens our faith, and assures us with his presence. You can always see Jesus. As the man who was healed confessed his faith and worshiped Jesus, so do we. As his people confess Jesus is Lord, trusting in his promises and rejoicing in the salvation he freely gives. Now may we continue to live in the assurance of his grace and boldly, boldly share the light of Christ with all those around us. Amen.